So tonight, me and Neve are going to be talking about faith, and I'm going to be focusing on faith itself, what it is, and having faith in God's character. And then Neve's going to be talking about historical and scientific evidence, creating a foundation for our faith. I always thought that God judging humans on their faith used to seem a bit unfair. After all, people can't just force themselves to believe something when there's no good evidence to back it up. But I've actually learned that Christianity is backed up by a tremendous amount of evidence. And in fact, there's so much Neve's going to do a sermon on it. So. In his book, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, faith is described as the art of holding on to things that your reason has once accepted despite your changing moods. So, for example, it's easy to declare your faith, but it's much more difficult to act on it. So in situations that require us to resist temptations and resist pressures, it's much easier just to submit to our doubts and give up on the gospel, but faith is about sticking to it. So for me, it's a lot harder to be a Christian at school than it is here or at home. And especially at the moment, I'm in sixth form and everyone started going to GAFs, which are like naughty parties. and it's like alcohol and stuff. And people are getting, you know, IDs off their older friends to go to places and stuff. And, you know, my reasoning's telling me, like, probably not a good idea to get drunk. It's really hard when everyone around you is doing it and like everyone's like, oh, you're no fun, Lois, and stuff. It's a lot easier for me to just, you know, listen to them. And I've actually even tried to like start compromising so I'm not seen as the social outcast. I'm like, oh, how about I go, but I bring a flask of hot chocolate instead of like alcohol. But you know, I might just fire some proverbs at them next time, like, oh, who has woe, who has sorrow, those who linger over wine. So I'm gonna be like, yeah. You're gonna be like that. Yeah. But yeah, what I'm trying to say is that faith is like an anchor. And you know, it stands strong against the current and it stays on the Christian path even when the tide is in the other direction. So I really think that there's an element of loyalty about faith. And in fact, another word for loyalty is faithfulness. So, change page. So Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is a confidence in what we hope for and an assurance in what we do not see. And yeah, there's a lot of evidence for Christianity, and that does provide a firm foundation for our faith. But I definitely don't always have this complete, unshakable certainty in God. And that's what this verse appears to be talking about. I think it's just going to take time repeatedly stepping out and having to rely on God just day by day, getting closer to him, to get what this verse implies, to have total security in God. Just another point I want to say is that actions have an all or nothing character, and although sometimes you have doubts but still do the thing that you think God might be instructing you to do, or you lead the Christian life even if sometimes you doubt God's even there, I believe that God counts that to you as faith even if you sometimes have the doubt. I'm now going to pass over to Neve, who's going to talk about science and how that can provide that firm foundation for Christianity.
Hello everybody. So I'm following on from Lois's point on the right path of following God. But how can we stay on that path when we don't know for certain that it is the right path? People over the years have contradicted Christianity, the reliability of the Gospels, and even the existence of God. So tonight I want to explore the foundations of our faith in God, namely the historical and scientific evidence backing our faith. So in order to have a faith, in our, have a foundation in our faith in God, we need to be able to trust the Bible and have confidence in it. Another sermon that also focuses on this point and is Andy Croft's Trusting the Bible. So I've used his points to base my historical part of this sermon. So having confidence and trusting in the Bible is absolutely key. And because some people often think because the Bible was written such a long time ago, it's changed over time. And the events in the gospel seem a little bit strange and people often dismiss it. So I want to focus on the gospel and it being historically checked over time. So historians check a piece of history via two ways. The length of time between the events happening and when it was written, and the number of copies in existence. So compared to other history pieces, such as Caesar's Gallic Wars and the Iliad, the New Testament is definitely reliable, as the copies are a lot more than those other ones I mentioned. And it was only written like 40 to 50 years after the events of Jesus' life. And so the gospel is truthful and hasn't simply been fabricated for quite a few reasons. For instance, the people who were around when the gospels were written were also around at the time when Jesus lived. So if the gospel wasn't true, they would be able to dispute it. And there's a lot of evidence outside the gospels that has similarity to the gospels itself, as well as archaeology confirming places that are mentioned in the Bible. Plus, if you think about it, it's a little bit too crazy to be false. And also that people have died for what they believe in, multiple people at the time when Jesus lived and over the 2,000 years have died for what they believe in. So how can so many people do that if they don't believe that it's true? For me personally, I've always struggled in having faith in something alone without evidence to back it up. Just like with Thomas in John 20, verse 25, he didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were, I will not believe." And Jesus let him. He wants us to be able to use evidence to back up it. But knowing that there's historical proof that the Gospels happened makes it much easier for me to be able to explore my faith. So that's the historical side of that. And another thing that helps me to explore my faith is scientific evidence. And with science, I want to talk about defying coincidence. There are so many things on this planet and in this universe that coincidence is simply not a plausible explanation. Our existence on this planet isn't simply coincidental. There are so many conditions that have to be perfectly right in order for life on Earth to be sustained. So for instance, we are exactly the right distance from the Sun. We're not too close like Venus and not too close like Mars. We have exactly the right atmospheric pressure for liquid water to exist. And our atmosphere has exactly the right components for us as humans to breathe. And the fact that the Earth has stayed like this for millions, if not billions, of years, for life to be sustained for the planet's entire history, justifies coincidence. And those are just a few examples. It is estimated that there are over 200 things necessary for supporting life, meaning that there should be hundreds of thousands of life, but there isn't. Back when life should have been impossible, should have been everywhere, it wasn't. We are the only planet that we know that has life. And seeing as there is over 200, life should be impossible. But here we are. Our existence simply defies coincidence. Another thing that I found when researching the science is the book of Genesis and how the similarities between it and current scientific evidence on how the universe came to be simply defies coincidence. I'm just going to say just a warning to anybody who isn't interested in science, bit of sciencey things coming your way. but I do find that a lot of people are, when they're arguing against Christianity, the Genesis versus science does come up. And they say that Genesis and science aren't compatible. Even Paul writes in the Bible, in Colossians 1, verse 16, by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. So I find this point about Genesis versus science very important. It's estimated on the first day of Genesis, by which the term days is used very loosely, as the Hebrew translation is actually periods of time. The first day happened approximately 15 billion to 4.5 billion years ago, and that matches when science predicted the origin of the universe began. Following the 7 days of Genesis, the resemblance between Genesis and scientific evidence is just uncanny. For instance, when water was formed on the second day and dry land appeared on the third day, water-rich asteroids collided with prehistoric Earth and Pangaea separated, both coinciding with Genesis. However, the similarities between the two aren't perfect, as there's a little bit of confusion with separating day and night in day 4, as well as how humans came to be in day 6. But there are theories from scientists that explain how Genesis and science can be one and the same, with my favorite being that on day 4, the atmosphere was opaque previous to day 4. And so even though the sun, moon, and stars were already formed, we simply couldn't see them. So, knowing that the 7 days in Genesis and science work together to tell the same story, allow me to explore my faith without any barriers. And if we think about it, isn't it amazing that God created this universe so perfectly to be able to sustain life in this way? And we can be in awe of his work, of how brilliant it is. Even in the Psalms, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaim his handiwork. And knowing how amazing and intricate God's work is makes me want to know him more.
We've got a lot of evidence that proves God's real, but we also need to have faith in his character and that he's a good father and that he really loves us. So I've found that the times I've been most dependent on God are actually the times that have built up my faith in his character. And 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So greater dependency on God leads to a greater revelation and understanding of his character, because he never gives up on us. His love for us just never ends. And it's one thing like reading over and over that God loves you, but it's another thing to really grasp this. I think you've got to have to let him carry you and be in that position of need. And another thing that just struck me about God's love is in Mark 1, 40 to 42, it says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus was indignant, and he reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And the thing that struck out to me there was that it says Jesus is indignant. So it's almost like he's frustrated, and that in that moment, the man with leprosy, he has no doubt that Jesus is God and that he's able to heal him, but he's questioning if Jesus loves him enough to heal him. And Andy Croft described it as like, Jesus is like, of course I want to heal you because you have this terrible disease, you're a social outcast. Of course I am willing. And I don't think we should be like the man with leprosy, obviously, because we don't want a skin disease, but also because we just need boldness in asking for things. And of course, Jesus has our best interests at heart because we're his children. And another huge hint that God's given us that he loves us is the cross. It says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no other than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the biggest expression of love that God can really give. We can be completely confident that God loves us. Yeah. I'm going to invite the band up, and then I'm going to say a quick prayer. Could you change the slide? Dear Lord, help me every single morning to find faith in the midst of the chaos. Give me the desire and ability to see you, hear you, talk to you, and give thanks to you. And as I do, I pray that you will draw nearer, I will draw nearer and nearer to you, and that my faith will multiply as I understand in new, deeper ways that you are everything I've ever hoped you would be, and so much more. Amen.